Today on Telling the Truth, Jill Briscoe continues her series Searching. Today, the search for significance. Why do you matter? How do you matter? You can have the answers to those questions as Jill shows you coming up. Your generosity helps ensure broadcasts like this one keep going out around the world so you and others can experience life through the teaching and resources of Telling the Truth. And as thanks for your gift today, we'll send you Jill Briscoe's six-message series, Searching. This powerful series will help you discover that the deepest longings of your soul are all just waiting for you in the pages of Scripture. So call today to request yours, 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388, or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Jill Briscoe with her message, Searching for Significance.
The whole world is searching because God has put eternity in the hearts of men. That means he's put within their hearts a sense of time and a sense of eternity. We're not just here for now and that's it, and when we're dead, we're done with. We are going to a place, a state, another dimension. And in fact, the Bible says that eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And so when the Bible describes this incredible life with God, where we're going to be forever and ever, it's very difficult for our little tiny minds to grasp it. But if we're thinking of searching, we started with searching for sense, just reason. Why are we here? Is there a purpose? Are we here for something definite? Are we here for a good reason? And then we talked a little bit about searching for serenity because all over the world, people are looking for peace of mind and never more than now. So we're going to talk about searching for significance first, and then we'll talk about searching for a song to sing. This world of ours thinks that to be significant, you have to have a lot, or you have to do a lot, or you have to be a lot of things. And if you read the whole of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon sought at one point in his life when he was older to find significance, to find that he mattered, that he felt good about himself because he was being what he should be and doing what he should do, in accumulating, in amassing things and people. And that's not where it's at. And there's a little passage here that talks about how sad it is when relationships are not working in people's lives, or people don't have relationships. And I haven't met too many people that say, I have no relationships in my life. But here we read about a man who is all alone, and I want to begin reading it, verse 8 here. There was a man all alone. This is chapter 4. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling? He asked. Why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So here you have someone who is looking for someone else to help him to feel he matters, to get up in the morning and know that you matter to another human being, or to two little or three little human beings, gives you a sense of significance. Somebody needs me, you say. And that gives you a sense of worth, of significance. But what happens if there's a man like this man who's all alone? Who's all alone? And it doesn't appear he matters to anyone. Two are better than one, etc., etc., etc. And you know something? The strange thing is you can have good relationships, you can have many relationships, but even that in the end doesn't give you a lasting sense of significance. It doesn't do it. There's no man that can ever love you enough, or woman. There's no child that can ever need you enough. There's no friend that can ever befriend you enough. Only God, in the end. And you can even be in a crowd of friends and feel very alone. Very, very alone. And you don't feel you matter. Does it matter whether I live or die? Some people ask me. Only a few. But their significance is in their relationships. And so the book of Ecclesiastes is saying it's good to have a close friend, somebody that can help you up when you fall and all of that. But the closest friend is God. And this man who wrote the book, who I believe is Solomon, most people believe is Solomon, he had something significant to say. Now, I just want to recap what we said. With the word wisdom, I want to use another acrostic, W-I-S-D-O-M. We talked about how wisdom, or the wise person, searches for the divine purpose for everything in our brief time on earth. It's a wise man that says, is there a purpose to me being here? Is there something God wants from me? Is there something he wants me to do? Are my days to be filled with purpose and meaning? So, wisdom searches for this divine will and purpose. And wisdom, of course, is the subject of this book. W-I-I, we talked about wisdom being intelligence. What is wisdom? Well, it's intelligence given to the believer by the Spirit, despite our IQ, and that always gives me great comfort and help. Wisdom, intelligence given to the believer by the Spirit, despite IQ. Knowledge and intelligence aren't quite the same thing. Knowledge, you just accumulate facts. Wisdom, spiritual intelligence, is knowing what to do about it. And so 1 Corinthians 2, 6-16 says, it's because of him, God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. And so when we receive Christ, Christ is our wisdom. We have the mind of Christ, the last verse of that chapter tells us. So wisdom is spiritual intelligence. When we can't figure out life experience or what to do, we can call on the Spirit. We can appropriate what's ours. We can say, I don't know what to do. I'm in a dilemma. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to get myself out of the mess I've got myself into. Or I don't know which job to choose, or whatever it is. You can ask God, and he promises to give you that. It's spiritually discerned. It's spiritually discerned. Wisdom's knowing how to live life with skill. That's the idea behind the word. Knowing how to be a skillful mother, knowing how to be a skillful single, knowing how to be a skillful worker, knowing how to be a skillful writer, knowing how to be skillful beyond anything somebody without the Spirit can possibly know, can possibly know.
This is Telling the Truth, the broadcast teaching ministry of Stuart and Jill Briscoe. Today, Jill's focus is the human quest for significance and meaning. Jill tells us more in a moment. Before she does, we wanted to share a sweet note from Shar in North Carolina, whose words show how friends like you are helping encourage people with the teaching and resources of Telling the Truth. Jill, you have been an unknowing mentor to me for many years. Your books have inspired me to press on all the way home and use me as he desires. At 72, I haven't a moment to waste. Thanks so much, Shar. That's the kind of encouragement you'll help bring into more people's lives through your gift of support today, as you help share the teaching and resources of Telling the Truth around the world so others can experience life in Christ. And we'd like to encourage you this month with a powerful resource, Jill's six-message series, Searching. When your heart is longing for something real, a purpose and a peace that truly satisfies, only one thing will deliver. And it's waiting for you in Scripture. In Searching, Joel Brisco explores the book of Ecclesiastes to answer the deepest questions of your heart, such as, why do I matter? Where will I find joy? And what do I really want? It'll help you find the serenity, sense of wisdom, significance, satisfaction, and security you've been searching for. This eye-opening resource is our thanks for your gift to help more people experience life through the teaching resources of Telling the Truth. So request your copy when you call 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388 or give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, here's Joel Brisco once again.
WIS, spiritual insight about earthly dilemmas. There was a time in Solomon's life when two women came to him. He'd just become king. God had given him wisdom. He'd come to God and said, I don't know how to do this. Standing in my father's place, how can I govern all these hundreds and thousands of people? I can't do this. And God had given him wisdom because he didn't ask for health and he didn't ask for wealth. He asked for wisdom. And so he has, probably without trying it out, received a promise of wisdom from God. And suddenly here are these two women. They're prostitutes. Both have had babies. They're living together as this sort of family unit. Two women and two newborn infants. And of course, as the manner is, they have the babies in bed with them. And one of the women overlies her baby and the baby dies. They come to Solomon with this one live child. And they begin arguing in front of him. And they both claim the child. They both claim the child. And here's the king. This is his first court case. And he's looking at them. How can he possibly know what to do? And he says, bring me a sword. And the women wonder what's going to happen. And he says, divide the child in two and give half to this woman and half to that woman. And the woman whose child it truly is says, no, don't do that. Give her the child. And the woman whose baby it isn't says, that's a good idea. Let's have half each. And Solomon immediately says, well, we can see whose child this is. Give this woman, who said, no, the baby. And everybody heard about the wisdom of Solomon. And that's where the rumors began. And it went right to the end of the earth. And people came from here and there and everywhere in the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So spiritual insight about earthly dilemmas, that's what wisdom is. Many a time in my life, I've prayed that prayer of Solomon's. Give me a sword, Lord. Give me a sword. Give me an idea how to do that. Incidentally, that's a wonderful prayer to pray. Give me an idea. WIS, spiritual insight about earthly dilemmas. We talked about WISD, D for decides. Deciding to do the right thing despite your own needs and wants. Wisdom does that. Knowledge is just getting all the facts. And then what do you do with them? Well, you make good or bad choices. Wisdom makes good choices all the time. And so wisdom orders its life after the God of orders. Deuteronomy 17, we looked at that passage. The wonderful passage for kings that God gave Moses to write down. And one of the things it says is, repeat the law, write it out. Kings have to look at Moses' sayings and what he said and write it out for themselves, carry it around so they'll know what to do. And that's the way we decide. We get this book and we become a man or a woman of this book and we learn it and we read it and we mark it and we inwardly digest it so that it becomes so much part of our thinking that when a choice has to be made, we know what it says and we take the principle of what it says and we know what to do. WISDO, own responsibility for your own actions. Solomon did. The wise man doesn't blame someone else for his own sinful choices. Solomon was the 10th son of David. His family was a mess. He had 6 half-brothers, all from different mothers, all older than him. He was the 2nd son of David and Bathsheba. His mother's husband, by a previous marriage, was murdered by his father. Now try and unravel all of that. And it would have been very easy for Solomon to blame his background for his own behavior as he fell into sin himself in his later age. But he didn't. He owned responsibility for his own actions. And of course, age does lead to urgency. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember him and get on with it before the days come when you're not able to remember anything anymore. So, WISDO, own responsibility, and then M. Being a wise person makes you a target for the enemy of your soul. And we do have one. He is spiritually intelligent too. Motivated, of course, by a different spirit, evil. But he's clever enough to have figured you out and me. He's clever enough to have figured us out. And he knows each of us have an Achilles heel. And don't expect any mercy. And don't expect him to be nice and kind, because he hates you. He hates your children. He hates your parents. He hates your family. And he is going to get you if he can. And being wise makes you a target. He hates wisdom because he's for foolishness. He is the master of illusion and delusion and confusion. Yes, he is. And he knew that Solomon had inherited, maybe from his father, his penchant for women. And so that's where he attacked him. And Solomon's heart, it says, clung to his foreign wives. Clung, claved. It's that word, leave and cleave, for marriage. Cleave, stick to, the word means. His heart stuck to the loves of his life that he had brought into the framework of his experience. I remember a Japanese young man giving a little talk at our Bible school on Solomon. And he said, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 cucumbers. Remember that? No, Tana, not cucumbers. Or porcupines, as I heard a kid say. He had all of those women in his life. And yet he says in this book, which is quite incredible, I didn't find one worthy woman among 1,000. And I only found one man. And so disillusioned, because people cannot give you what you're looking for. So, the end of his life, the end of the book, Solomon, the wise teacher, verse 6, imparts his wisdom, aged wisdom, plus experience, plus spiritual intelligence, begins to teach us some things. And what does he do? Well, he uses words which are weapons for good or ill. Not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. How did he do it? He used words as goads, and he used them as nails. And he used words to move people from meaninglessness to meaningfulness, from purposelessness to purposefulness. And that's what you can do with words. Words are such a gift. We need to work at it. At word power. Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered. That means he worried it out. He thought a lot about it. He meditated. He searched out. He set in order. He cataloged many, many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. Was all true. Nothing like the truth. I have seen the truth pierce people's hearts. I have seen the truth that they say they do not believe in turn them inside out. The Bible says that the truth is like a sword. The word of God is like a sword. And people might say, I don't believe the word of God. But it's like a sword. Think of a real sword. They might say, I don't believe in it, but it still pricks them. The words of the wise are like goads. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Do you want your words to work? Then you have to take them from the shepherd. You have to get on your knees. You have to get in your face. You have to do your homework. Are you facing words that are necessary to talk to somebody who's in trouble? Worship! And as you worship, standing there, the shepherd will give you wisdom, words of wisdom that will be like goads and nets.
Jill Briscoe on today's Telling the Truth, talking about the search for significance and meaning. She'll be right back to answer a couple of questions today's message might have sparked in you. Where have you found contentment in life, purpose, assurance? If you're still looking, you're not alone. While possessions, success, money, and relationships promise joy and fulfillment, when your heart is longing for something real, a purpose and peace that truly satisfies, none of these deliver. The deepest longings of your soul can't be found in anything the world has to offer, but they're all just waiting for you in the pages of Scripture. Discover the hope and purpose your heart is searching for in Jill Briscoe's six-message series, Searching. This powerful study explores the book of Ecclesiastes to answer the deepest questions of your heart. Walk with Jill as she looks at King Solomon's life to help you find the serenity, satisfaction, and security you've been searching for. Searching is our thanks for your gift to help more people experience abundant life in Christ through the unchanging truth of God's Word. Simply request your copy when you call today and give a gift to help keep the ministry of Telling the Truth going around the world. Call 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now here's Jill Briscoe to go a little deeper with a couple of thoughts from today's message. Jill, how can a person shift their focus from finding meaning in relationships here on this earth to the one relationship that really matters, their relationship with God?
We shouldn't shift our focus from our relationship with God to attend to our relationship with others. We should meld the two. Our relationship with God should be intertwined with every relationship we have. The force and the help we need, the ideas in the relationship, the things to say or the things not to say. How can we divorce that from our quiet time with God and reading the Bible and praying? No, it's a moment-by-moment relationship with God, and that will take us into every relationship we have in 24 hours. And so every relationship with God should be intertwined with a glance heavenward. Oh, Lord, what do I say to that? Or do I keep my mouth shut, Lord? So two conversations going on, the heavenward glance and the Spirit's prompting, tap on the shoulder, etc., in the relationships, in the talks that we have. And it should become unconscious. It should become a wonderful trust and, just peace of mind to invite God at the beginning of the day to be in every conversation, to be in every decision, to be in every moment. And then believe that's going to happen and keep your ear, your inner ear, open to his prompting.
How can a person find spiritual insight in earthly dilemmas?
Well, spiritual insight comes from the Spirit, the right Spirit, the Holy Spirit for a Christian. And so we need to find out what the Bible says about him helping us, giving us insight. Some of the epistles are great places to go where we can read about keeping in step with the Spirit as if he's walking alongside us, and we need to keep in step with him. And how we do that is by behavior, and there's actually lists of things, what it means to walk in the Spirit and what it means to walk in our selfishness or our flesh, as the Bible would put it. And so read that. Look at the list. You'll find out if you're out of step, but you'll find out internally as well, because there'll be a check. There'll be a, no. I remember when I first was converted and I didn't have a very clean mouth. Within 2 days of accepting the Holy Spirit and beginning a little walk with him, just a couple of days, I swore. And as soon as that word came out of my mouth, I felt this little internal check, like him on my shoulder, patting my shoulder from the inside. No more. That's how the Spirit checks us.
Thanks, Jill. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Now, before we go, remember that when you give today to help keep Telling the Truth broadcasts like this one going out around the world, we'll say thanks by sending you Jill Briscoe's 6-message series, Searching, to help you discover the key to lasting satisfaction, significance, and security. Call now to give, and remember to request your copy of Searching with our thanks. 1-800-889-5388. 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Next time on Telling the Truth, Stuart and Jill Briscoe share more about the abundant life only Jesus brings. We hope you'll be listening then.